Moderna says its COVID vaccine is more than 94% effective. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Moderna says its experimental vaccine is 94.5% effective in preventing COVID-19. It's the second U.S. company in a week to report preliminary results that far exceed expectations. Pfizer last week said its vaccine was more than 90% effective. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning.
So markets are understandably rallying over the news. But out of curiosity, I mean, it's a strong response. What's the difference between having two vaccines that work versus the one?
Well, I mean, this one is a little bit more effective, and also potentially you have less issues with supply chain delivery, production, producing enough for everybody. So more is better.
Does this affect the argument in Congress over whether stimulus is still necessary?
Well, it potentially can, although we have this tension between the near term and the medium term. So in the near term, we have rising virus. We have about 15 million people whose unemployment benefits are going to expire at the end of the year. So there's a lot of causes for concern in the near term, even as the medium term looks better and better with the development of the vaccine.
What about the Federal Reserve? Does this kind of news affect how the Federal Reserve charts a path forward in promoting recovery?
Actually, I think that the Fed is going to use this as an opportunity. They have said all along that they want a faster recovery. They don't want a slow grinding recovery like we had last time. So they're going to stay committed to keeping interest rates low, even as optimism builds, so that we get a stronger, faster recovery rather than the slow grind. So I don't think that they will be complacent in the face of this news.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good to talk to you as always.
My pleasure.
Jay Clayton, head of the Securities and Exchange Commission since 2017, is stepping down as chairman at the end of the year. Marketplace's Jasmine Garst.
Clayton focused especially on individual investors, which was reflected in moves like cracking down on cryptocurrency fraud. There's been criticism that he wasn't tough enough, but enforcement did increase during his term, including some high-profile targets like Elon Musk. Under President-elect Joe Biden, the SEC is likely to get tougher. No word yet on who will replace Clayton, but several Obama-era financial regulators and district attorneys are reportedly being considered.
Marketplace's Jasmine Garst. When deciding where to put their money, investors are increasingly considering factors like environmental responsibility, human rights, labor concerns. It's known as environmental, social, and corporate governance, or ESG, investing, and it has grown 42% since 2018. Now covers a third of all assets under investment in the U.S. That is according to a report by the U.S. SIF Foundation, a nonprofit membership association for investors involved in what they call responsible investing. Lisa Wall is CEO of the U.S. SIF Foundation and joins us. Thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
A 42% rise since 2018. That sounds staggering. What's driving that?
I think that's in part because there hasn't been very much public policy, any really, that has been addressing the climate crisis, the racial injustice crisis. Certainly, we have been grappling with a pandemic, which has shown economic inequality. So I think people as a group are trying to figure out how they could have impacted so many really critical issues in the absence, really, of national federal policy. So I think that had something to do with it. I also think we're seeing a proliferation of investment products. This is making it easier for a range of investors to find opportunities to invest. And also groups like USCIF over the last 7 to 8 years have made it an immense priority to educate both financial professionals and non-financial professionals.
So out of all the issues that investors are thinking about, human rights, labor, environmental responsibility, what's the biggest one of all?
Well, for money managers who control most of the assets that are accounted for in this report, climate change and carbon was the number one issue, accounting for $4.18 trillion in the specific ESG criteria. That was followed by anti-corruption and then board issues, sustainable natural resources and agriculture, and executive pay.
So if you're choosing to invest in companies on a climate change basis, what kind of companies does that mean you're investing in?
The answer is it depends what the fund is focused on. So you may be finding a clean energy fund, which is really focused on clean energy. You may find a fossil fuel-free fund. So they're not investing in any fossil fuels. They might not be investing in any companies that transport those fossil fuels, for example. Others are going to choose a broad base of companies that perhaps have the best climate policies, or a small group of companies that are really integrating a climate focus throughout the entire company, through all of their actions. So it's a multifaceted answer because there are multiple types of funds approaching the climate change issue from different perspectives.
Lisa Wall, CEO of the U.S. SIF Foundation, thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.